May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our God, our strength, and our Redeemer.
Amen.
For me, as I read through the lessons, there are a lot of thoughts. How we're to be, and how some were, and maybe even are, but the lessons show us what God's way is like, seeking out to welcome people, no matter who they are, having love and mercy and forgiveness, no matter who they are, joy and acceptance, being accepted by one another and by God. And then the total determination and patience that God has for us. All of the above, if we were going to have a test, all of the above, that's God's way. And that is stewardship of life. It's stewardship of God's love. Now, in the cult, we start off, we say, oh God, because without you we are not able to please you, mercifully grant that your Holy Spirit may in all things direct and rule our hearts. That's quite a mouthful. If you can, take it home, read it every day. That's quite a mouthful because it's difficult to admit that we can't please God without him. We can't be good without God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And actually, it's kind of hard to be good and please him, even when we have his help, because sometimes we don't listen. We don't listen. And then what kind of is interesting to me is, in Exodus, well, we've heard that phrase, I think I have it right, while the cats away, the mice will play. Well, that's what was going on. They were not being good. They were not being faithful to their God. But what impresses me about Moses is, and he wasn't perfect, he was complaining to God, saying, what have you done here? And then God says, I have seen this people, how stiff-necked they are. And God says, now let me alone, so that my wrath may burn hot against them, and I may consume them. And here's what impresses me about Moses. And then God says, and I will... And of you, I will make you a great nation. Now think of the temptation there that Moses had. But it wasn't all about Moses, and he knew it. So this story says, maybe Moses didn't quite get most of what God was trying to teach him all the time, but God knew Moses' heart. How Moses really loved God. How Moses even loved the stiff-necked people. And let me tell you, I have a lot of Jewish friends still in Miami, but they can be very forceful and stiff-necked, and so can I, and I think all of us. But Moses really cared. He really loved, and he was determined about saving his people that God gave him charge over, even as God was. Moses wanted to serve God and serve his people. And that's what his stewardship of life was. Now in the colic, this is not new. Here we have the Pharisees and the scribes, and they were complaining. They were grumbling because the tax collectors and the sinners were coming near to Jesus. But what were they coming near to do? They were coming near to listen. No, they weren't perfect. Sure, half of them, if not all of them, were going to sin some more. But they were striving to listen to the Lord. And so what did the Pharisees do? And the scribes, and remember, the Pharisees and the scribes, a lot of them were priests. They're supposed to know better. Not. So he says to them, he tells them a story. He says, which one of you having 100 sheep, losing one of them, does not leave the 99? In the wilderness and go after the one that is lost until he finds it. That's good stewardship. And then Jesus explains, we use this as an analogy. Jesus explains what he does for me, what he does for you, what he does for all people. He goes out, he seeks, and he finds, and he's determined to find us if we just let him. And then even more, he lays us on his shoulder, and even more, he rejoices. God goes after us all the time. He never gives up. He never gives up, and he finds us. And then what happens? Does he scold? Does he complain? Does he say, well, you should have been doing that? No, God rejoices because he's found us. What an awesome thought. What a comfort that is to each and every one of us. He's determined not to lose us, not one. And then we learn at the end of the gospel that even in the presence of God's holy angels, there's joy when one sinner repents. Even in the presence of God's angels, there's actual joy. You know how sometimes little kids, maybe sometimes even adults, you'll hear somebody complaining about somebody else, and you're not really rejoicing about the poor soul that's being complained about. Me too, are thinking, oh, thank God it's not me. But in God's presence, the holy angels rejoice in the presence of one sinner that repents. That's God's way. We are to be caring, loving, aware, interested, understanding, merciful, and loving, because that's what God teaches us through Jesus Christ and by the power of his Holy Spirit in us. So what's the difference between the Pharisees and the scribes and the angels and God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? It's simple. The Pharisees grumble, they complain, they just pick. They bully, they gossip, they make life difficult, they make going to God difficult. They're negative, they're not welcoming, they're not accepting, they're destructive. That's one way. And then here we have another way. The angel's way and God the Father's way. God goes and he seeks out. He never gives up. He's always welcoming and encouraging. He's supportive, helpful, cares, is aware and interested, always interested. He always includes all of us. He's forgiving, merciful, and loving. So it's up to us. Which stewardship way of life are we going to choose? The Pharisees' way or Jesus' way? God's way is stewardship of life. And if we want to, we can imitate God's stewardship of life in our own lives, which is a stewardship of love.